Good morning and welcome to Grace Chapel out in the desert, West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning, and Father, we ask that you give us the wisdom to open our eyes so that we may have the understanding, Father, to hear your word and to go out and do it. We praise your holy name, Lord Jesus, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. Wonderful, Jesus is to me.
Thank you.
praise the Lord.
Well, we've been going a lot of directions, primarily focusing directly on the gospel. To get out, preach the gospel to every creature as you go out into the world. To show brotherly love. And to walk as the Lord would walk. That is what we are supposed to do, as walk as Jesus walked. I want to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The church of Corinthians had heard the word of the Lord, accepted the word of the Lord, been baptized, yet not everybody was on the same page. And we can see it here. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And Cephas was Peter. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the great part remain unto the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not met to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not up at all, why are they baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupteth good manners. Let me repeat that. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beast, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in corruption. In corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. and it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first, which is spirit, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Also is the earthy. Such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, they are they also which are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. We can see through that we all can get influenced at times from outward actions. And we also know that the truth is the Lord, that our strength is our Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to walk after him, to follow him, and not be led astray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. That's a song that I haven't ever heard before coming here, I don't think. And it's very easy to sing to the Lord, especially when you know the song. It's easy to sing the words and have your mind be on something else. Ask me how I know. But it's, you know, when you sing, you need to take time to think about what the words are saying. Here I am once again. I pour out my heart, for I know that you hear. Why else would you pour out your heart unless you knew that he heard you? He does hear. And you hear every cry. You are listening. When I humble myself and submit to your word, you are faithful to answer. I was listening to the radio the other day as Bob and I were driving back from town. And when I humble myself and submit to your word, you are faithful to answer. When you pray in accordance with the Lord's word, he will answer. He will honor it. When you pray something that is not in accordance with the word, you won't hear an answer. But when you humble yourself and submit to his word, he is faithful to answer with words that are true and a hope that is real. People don't know that there's hope. You know, Bob was reading 1 Corinthians 15 and it was saying, live and eat today because, you know, tomorrow we die. And that's how people live, because they don't know there's something to hope for beyond what you can see and experience in this world. As I yield to your voice, you bring a freedom to all that's within. In the safety of this place, I'm longing to pour out my heart. This place is wherever you are, before the Lord. That is a safe place. The safety of this place, which is his presence. Hebrews 4 talks of coming boldly before the throne of grace. It's the last verse. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We don't come boldly to the throne of grace because we think we have the answer. We can come boldly to the throne of grace because we know the Lord is the answer. And that's where we get mercy and grace. The key to this song, here I am once again, is humble yourself and submit to his word. And he is faithful to answer.
Oh God, and
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like everybody to turn to Romans chapter 5. Starting with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, but because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When it says to be justified by faith, that means we have surrendered to Him. We show regard, we are just, and we're innocent. We become that when we accept Jesus. We are justified by that faith. We become innocent. Our sins are washed away. And we have access by faith into His grace. And grace is unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. There's nothing we can do to earn that grace. It is given to us freely. And we stand in that, and we can rejoice in that hope of the glory of God. And hope means to anticipate. It's an expectation. It's having a confidence and a faith. Because we have that grace, we can stand in that expectation and the confidence of the hope that we'll be seeing Jesus one day, physically. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Okay, tribulation. None of us look forward to that. But that is afflicted. It's anguish. It's burdened. It's persecution. And let's face it, you know, if we haven't run into that, some of that yet, we will be running into it in the future. We're promised tribulation. But because of that tribulation, it works patience in us. And patience is you endure. You're waiting, you endure. You're cheerful or hopeful, but you just stand fast in Jesus Christ. And by going through the tribulation, we will have patience, and then we will be hopeful, and we're waiting for His coming. And patience, experience, and experience hope. Well, experience, we all have experience in different things in the world. We have experience in different carpentry or automotive or cooking or raising children. You know, we have experience at that. And it's proof that we can do something. And by having that experience, we have the hope. And we're back to that hope again. It's confidence. It's an expecting. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Because we have hope, because we have that confidence, we have that expectation of His return, we don't need to be ashamed. People, lately, if you talk about Jesus, you're put down all the time. I mean, even some of the courts now are standing in and saying, oh, you can't say that. Someone might be offended. We don't have to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. We do not have to be ashamed of calling Jesus our Lord.
We don't have to be ashamed of doing what is right. We don't have to be ashamed of standing up for the morals that God teaches, whether it be marriage between a man and a woman, being against abortion, you know, all those hot topics right now. If you say you're against those, oh my gosh, you're a hater. We don't have to be ashamed, and we can't let people stop us from speaking out on things we know are true, things that are in the Word. It's hard out there. I mean, people have been thrown in jail, and in foreign countries, they're getting their heads chopped off because they stand for Jesus. And I would rather be a martyr for Jesus Christ than to die being ashamed of him. Amen. So stand fast in the hope and the grace that he has given to each of us. Don't let the gainsayers out there stop your mouth from talking about the glory of Jesus Christ and what he has for each and every person out there if they'll accept it. Don't be ashamed. We don't have to be because we have the hope. I think I'm done.
The world today is the way it is because Christians are ashamed to stand up and speak that which is true.
We are at war.
Praise God.
Amen.
We can do better than that. Praise God.
Amen.
Make them think somebody's here today. I'm not going to keep you very long. I'm going to read a little bit out of Romans. Romans 7. Steve was talking a little bit around this earlier. I want to just do verses 22, maybe a couple more. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. It takes me back over to the book of John, verse 34, chapter 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. Very simple. With the inward man, with my soul, I will obey the love of God, or the word of God, the law of God. And the law of God is love one another. Simple. Simple. The flesh seeks to serve the law of sin. And believe it or not, the law of Moses brought sin. It named it, it showed it for what it was, and it brought death with it. When Adam ate of the tree of knowledge, sin and death came in the world. But the sin was not imputed as sin until the law of Moses was brought forth. Once the law of Moses was brought forth, sin became exceedingly simple, because then we knew what sin was. But with the law of God, it's very simple. To love God, to love one another. It is only by the loving of one another that we show God's personality to the world. When you love yourself, you actually follow the law of sin, because you're trying to make yourself look good in the eyes of the world, trying to get the world to love you. But when you love with the love of God, self doesn't enter in. It's all about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and seeking to please them. And by pleasing them, we love one another, putting others before ourselves. And therefore, we have that hope of glory, to be in Jesus, to stand in Him, everlasting. Amen.
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 You alone I long to worship.
Praise you, Lord.
Dear Lord, we thank you for these words today. We ask that you be with us, Father, as we go out and walk in this world, that you'll guide us, that you'll protect us, that you'll strengthen us, Lord, so that we may wage your war, Lord, to bring your word to the world, to show the truth. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for we know you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.